All right, welcome to Florida, the state that I've had the opportunity to serve as the Extension Turf Dude for the last 24 years. For those of you that have followed my career, I turned 50 like 2 weeks ago, so some of you feel really old now, don't you? Anyway, it's been a great ride, and so I'm going to spend really probably the next 13 minutes probably demonstrating, hopefully very effectively, why programmers should never put the old guys with the graduate students. But talk a little bit about some thatch, quantifying thatch accumulation in zoysia grass. And zoysia grass, really over the last decade in the state of Florida, has really made a big impact, really especially as you go north of here and in this region in particular. And so zoysia grass in Florida, when it's good, it's really good. And when it's bad, it's really bad. And we tend to see those two kind of extremes of zoysia grass. And so when our northern friends move to Florida, they like to see this, and they don't like to see that. And so we go back to Missouri back in the 80s, and a lot of work was done on zoysia grass. And it was noted here in this publication that one of the problems associated with the use of zoysia grass really is its tendency to form thatch. And so this isn't rocket science, but nonetheless, folks in Florida haven't figured this out. And considering, as highlighted there, the cost of frequent use of these management procedures, be it vertical mowing or top dressing or core cultivation, thatch may be the most important cultural condition restricting the use of zoysia grass. And in fact, we have seen the mix of these management practices, whether it's mowing height, fertility, enhanced cultural practices, being the vertical mowing or pyre raking, aerification, or top dressing, essentially are all done wrong in the state of Florida. Most of the time, our mowing height is twice the recommended rate. Our fertility is about 2x the recommended rate from the University of Florida. And these enhanced cultural practices are largely not done. This is an example. This is in the Villages just north of here. This was a landscape where a colleague was called in to take a look, trying to figure out what the problem was. And he assessed the situation and said, "I think we have a thatch problem." This company, although a large company, does not have the mechanical equipment, and so went the old school route. Purchased a thatch rake, went in there, and this is not a photoshopped image, but 3 weeks later, this is the result. And so thatch is a big factor in the state of Florida, as I said. And so other folks are doing all kinds of stuff trying to improve these things, and so core aeration, this is about the extent of what's done in Florida. Most people have a perspective that sands, and most of our soils are predominantly sand, that they do not compact, and so they think these methods are appropriate. Top dressing is also poorly understood in the state of Florida. And this is one approach, and just bury it and hope for the best next year. They call me the paparazzi of turf in Florida because I take pictures of stupid. And here's another one. This picture is in May 26th, and that is not snow in the state of Florida. It doesn't snow much, even where I live up in the Panhandle. But nonetheless, this is inert white beet sand that is used for top dressing, at least in some piles. And so these are the common practices that are done in the state of Florida. Well, when we go back, there is a legend in the industry. Gaylord Volk was at the University of Florida many, many years ago, and he, in 1972, first published, designed, and compared this thatch meter instrument to thatch depth and weight of tiff dwarf Bermuda grass putting greens. How many of you have seen the Volk thatch meter? Raise your hands. Okay? And so a few of you. How many of you have ever used one? A few of you. And so we look at this, and basically the device here is... basically, let me kind of explain it. The base of this really is similar, is to approximate really the square footage of an average man's shoe size. And then this is a weight that is on here, and I'll show a picture in a second, that the weight, there's a plunger that protrudes through the bottom of the device that then measures the compression force of the thatch. And then the weight of the overall instrument then is designed to approximate the weight of an average man. And so Volk determined that the correlation between the thatch meter and thatch depth and thatch weight were significant, but there were no correlation coefficients reported in his early work. Since that time, a few people have gone and attempted to use the Volk thatch meter to do some correlations. Callahan in Tennessee some years ago conducted a study to determine if the thatch meter correlated with the results obtained from weight loss on ignition and ruler measurements on creeping bent grass, but he concluded that the thatch meter correlated well with ruler measurements but not with the standard practice of weight loss on ignition. Volk's thatch meter has kind of undergone some redesigns and some modifications, and White and Dickens in 1984 published work where they had done some minor revisions of the instrument and then tested it on Tiff Dwarf, Tiff Green, and Dothan Bermuda grass that was subjected to different levels of nitrogen, aerification, vertical mowing, and top dressing. And when their work was published, they determined that the thatch meter measurements were compared, when compared to the ruler measurements, they were not significant in the regression as well. And so our study really was to see, and these have all been basically done on fairway height at the highest height of cut in putting greens. So our objective really was to look at, to see if we could use the Volk thatch meter and compare it to, say, the weight loss on ignition, a ruler, and weight on zoysia grass. And so MacGyver, also known as Phil Moon, my biologist, is an incredible fabricator, and took the publications and was able to fabricate yet another a version of the Volk thatch meter. And you will notice that these little extensions that were placed upon there really to kind of take into consideration that higher height of cut, so that the plunger that you can see protruding there can push down through the canopy of the turf. And so typical UNRU style, UNRU likes to do very, very large studies because I'm indecisive, and so, well, let's just test all the cultivars, and let's just put as many nitrogen rates, as many different variables as we can into a study. And so we did a very large study looking at the Japonicas and the Matrellas, multiple different cultivars, multiple verticutting practices differing between the Matrellas, different top dressing rates, and then different fertilities rates that range from kind of low into our recommended ranges and all the way up to quite a bit high. And so the thatch estimates that were determined really kind of were a secondary objective of this overall study, trying to understand how should we best manage these cultivars of zoysia grass grown in the state of Florida. And so thatch meter measurements were recorded on three locations within each plot and then averaged to provide a single data point. Thatch meters were taken spring, summer, and fall, and then cores were taken for the remaining three methods within 7 days of taking a thatch meter reading using this Miltona plug stacker. The soil and the roots were cut off directly below the thatch layer, and then the green tissue was removed. Thatch depth was then measured with this caliper in two random locations on the core and then averaged as well. To provide the mass measurement, the cores were dried and then weighed, and then for the weight loss on ignition, the samples were ground in the mill, dried again, and then combusted in the muffle furnace. Appropriate statistical procedures were used on this, and again, we're just looking at comparing the various methods of thatch, not how did all of those myriad of treatments affect zoysia grass thatch accumulation. And so let's just focus for the sake of time really on one Japonica cultivar, that being Empire in the top half of that data table, and then Zeon to represent one of the fine textured cultivars as well. And then if we go to the right side of the screen, you'll notice that in the Japonica cultivars, Empire being a representative of that, that the thatch meter failed to provide allowed us to detect any of the main effects or in the interacted effects, whereas in the Matrella cultivar, we do see here that the thatch meter was able to detect a significant top dressing treatment as well as the fertilizer differences. If we look across as well just a ruler depth in the Japonicas, we were not able to differentiate any differences based on those main effects or the interactions. But mass and organic matter loss, we're able to detect both a top dressing and a fertility response as well. Under the Matrellas, down on the bottom of the table, really the only difference that the standard methods were able to predict or to determine were the top dressing differences, not the verticut or the fertility. So kind of just in overview, the Japonica cultivars, the thatch meter generally resulted in lower F statistics than the weight loss on ignition, the ruler, or the mass measures, indicating that the thatch meter was less sensitive than the other methods for determining thatch. And that finding is different. It's contrary to the F statistics that were noted within the Matrella cultivars. And so the standard thatch measuring methods on the Matrella cultivars resulted in similar F statistics to those that were derived from the thatch meters. So if we base solely upon the F statistic, these results indicate that the thatch meter would not be an appropriate method to measure thatch on the higher cut zoysia grasses, but its sensitivity may be comparable to that of weight loss on ignition, the ruler and mass measurements on the shorter cut zoysia grasses. So let's take that plane back up a little bit and go back really to the philosophy that Volk had when he designed this thing, and that was that the thatch meter, as thatch develops, thatch will have a greater compression that then can be measured by the thatch meter, resulting in a higher reading from the thatch meter. Therefore, a correlation between the thatch meter readings and weight loss on ignition or thatch depth or thatch mesh, thatch mass should remain positive, assuming that the turf grass is growing. And so if we look at, rather than show you all 135 regression equations that were generated, among the three regressions, whether it's thatch meter with mass, thatch with depth, or the thatch meter with loss on ignition, conducted on 9 different collection dates over a 3-year period on 5 zoysia grass cultivars, 66 of the 135 regressions resulted in negative slopes. And so on the occasion where the negative slope, you know, an occasional negative slope may be acceptable if we were seeing a rate of decomposition that exceeded maybe the rate of accumulation. However, when half of the regressions indicate that negative or provide negative slopes, it seems that we have a real lack of consistency in that measurement method. Box and whisker charts are often used to show that range of variability, and so the Japonica cultivar there on the left and the Matrella cultivar on the right, being Empire and Zeon, if we look, the top, the letter A is the organic matter, B is thatch depth, and C is the weight, we do see the range of variation across all of those various parameters, all the nitrogen rates, all the vertical mowing frequencies, all the top dressing frequencies. We see how these different thatch methods, thatch determination methods, do show that great variability across this. But if you look at the bottom, the letter D boxes for the thatch meter depth, you see basically that that variation in the data has really shrunk down, and showing us that though on the one side we would want very consistent data, when you explode this over across all of these various inputs, that variation is really removed from this instrument, so the precision within the thatch meter is lost across all of these various inputs. And so in conclusion, the thatch meter and the ruler really were unable to determine differences resulting from those main effects or interactions applied to the Japonica cultivars. Mass and weight loss on ignition, then did determine differences of top dressing and fertility levels of the Japonicas. And so this indicates that mass and weight loss on ignition really are appropriate methods for use on the Japonica cultivars to measure thatch, and it provides supporting evidence opposing the use of a thatch meter on these higher cut zoysia grasses. The increased sensitivity that we saw, just looking at the F statistic on the zoysia matrella cultivars, really did show some main effect differences, but each of those, each measurement method determined differences among those top dressing levels, but not for fertility and verticutting. So kind of cull through all of that, the thatch meter is capable of determining differences in fertility levels, and that's concerning considering that weight loss on ignition, the mass, and then the ruler measurements did not detect those differences as well. And so bottom line is this study really is unable to provide sufficient evidence supporting the correlation of zoysia grass thatch measurements made using the Volk thatch meter with those made by the weight loss on ignition, the ruler, or the mass measurements. So what do we do with a Volk thatch meter? It's a really cool conversation piece when people come into the lab and see it sitting there. On putting greens, no doubt, it has been demonstrated to be effective. On these higher heights of grass, at the present time, we can't substantiate or recommend its use on the higher heights of cut grass. With that, question?
We have time for questions.
How long did it take? Phil, as I said, is an amazing individual. He took off one afternoon, went home, brought it back next day. And Phil has built all kinds of crazy instruments. If you follow us on Twitter, you'll always see the different gizmos that he's building for the lab. And so, but less than a day.